Torreyway Northwest London, Thursday the 11th of September, Tess Vov Elul, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, ignoring the inevitable or facing the challenge.
The Mesilas Yesharim, in his famous Sefer, begins with a sentence that underlines the theme that runs throughout the Sefer. And he says, Yesoid v'sheiresh o'avoido hatmimo, sheyisbori v'yisameis eitzel ha'odom, a person is brought onto this world, and before a person can do anything or strive to reach anything, he has to first know who he is, why he's here, and what he was brought down for. And that is what Mesilas Yesharim sets out to do in this Sefer. He runs through all the various ideas that crop up constantly through our life, and he guides us how to overcome these obstacles. And this idea of the Mesilas Yesharim, the Sfarim say, does not apply only to our life bichlolos, to our life as a whole, but rather it applies to all the different situations that come up in our life, and even more so to all the different zamanim that come up in our life. Klal Yisrael, in the Luach HaYehudi, in the Jewish calendar, there's different zamanim. There's zamanim which are more based on simcha, like Ador. There's zamanim which are more based on atzvos, like Tammuz, like Av. And there's zamanim of specific avodas, like Elul. And therefore, the Sfarim say that in these zmanim as well, we also have to ask ourselves, what are these zmanim for, and what are we meant to reach for during these zmanim? Elul, we know, is brought down in Chazal, in the Midrashim, in the Gemaras. There's tremendous, tremendous ideas mentioned in Elul, which we don't see by other zmanim. We see ideas of connection, of love, of relationships, of purity. We see beautiful ideas mentioned. And the question is, ma chaviseinu ba'elul? We know of all these ideas, but what are we meant to do to reach these ideas? How are we meant to go towards these ideas and try get to them? That is the big question that the Sfarim ask. And the Sfarim bring down an analogy of a person, lo yaleinu, was very ill. And he goes to the doctor, his heart's hurting, and the doctor sends him to a professor, a famous specialist in that area. When he walks into this professor's office, he prescribes him with a specific medication, which he tells this guy to take every day. And taka, after 3 days, the guy feels like a different person. He's got no more pain. But simultaneously, at the same time, it begins hurting him in his leg. So he goes back to his doctor, and the doctor examines him, and this time he sends him to a leg specialist. And again, the same thing occurs. He prescribes him with a medication, which after a few days kicks in and begins to help him. But again, as soon as the pain in the leg goes away, something else starts hurting him, and so on. This time, when the guy goes back to his doctor says it looks like these aren't separate incidents. It looks like there's one underlying cause here. There's a root cause, which is causing all these different problems to occur. It's showing itself in different contexts, and therefore we're left with one choice only. It doesn't help to send you to a specialist each time, because they can only look at that specific area. What we're going to do now is send you into a day clinic where you're going to have an MRI scan. You're going to lie in a tube where they're going to take pictures of your entire body completely. And it's going to build up an image, and then we're going to be able to see exactly what's going on, what the root cause for all this problem, for all these problems are, and then we can prescribe you the right medication. But until we know what the root cause is, there's nothing we can do. And the Sfarim say that this is exactly what Elul is all about. Throughout the year, a person has tried and tried keeping the Kabbalahs that he's taken upon himself from the year before. And every single one of us have achieved. We've achieved brilliantly. But on the other hand, we've also fallen. Chazal tell us in Sadiq Barat, there's no such thing as someone who doesn't fall. Everyone's fallen. And each time we fall, we try again. We try anew to find new chizukim, new Kabbalahs to keep ourselves going. And it doesn't always work. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, Rabbi Yisai, it's time now for an Elul where you're going to go into a day clinic. Now you're going to sit down, you've given me a whole month beforehand to go deep inside your body, a proper introspection to find out exactly what the root cause for all these downfalls are. Because only once we know which middah or which sibba is causing these downfalls can we begin to take the correct medication. Elul, the Sfarim says, Miloshen Alilum. It says when the Meraglim wanted to go to spy out Eretz Yisrael, V'yosuru es Eretz Kanaan. And Targum Unkelah says, V'yosuru es Miloshen Alilum. So we see that Elul, the idea of Elul is exactly what we're saying, it's a lashon of spying, of checking out, of investigating, examining. We're examining ourselves. And therefore the question we have to ask is, so what do we have to do now? And the Sfarim say that the medication which we're going to have to take once we know which middah is causing us the problems is a medication in Chazal's terminology referred to as tshuva. So what is tshuva? What does tshuva entail? And the truth is, the answer to this is based on a dialogue, an imaginary dialogue, which Micha Novi, in his Sefer, we actually lay in Naftar and Pasha's Bolok, he brings down this dialogue which takes place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Seichel. And it goes like this. The Pasuk says, "Bamea kadem Hashem ikaf lilikli morin." It's discussing that Klal Yisrael have fallen down, they've fallen quite far, and Micha was telling them off. And they've reached a point now where they understand that they have to do tshuva. So they're going and they're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bamea kadem Hashem. How can I come in front of you? Ikaf lilikli morin. How can I show complete subservience to you? And the Pasuk continues and says, "Ho akadmenu bo'oilois ba'agolim b'nei shono." Maybe the right thing to do, says the Seichel, is to bring the most beautiful animals and sacrifice them in front of you. Hayirza Hashem ba'alfei elim. I should bring thousands of ram offerings. Berivavos nachalei shemen. With rivers of oil accompanying the korbanos. Seichel logic is saying that tshuva entails taking all our monetary possessions and giving them all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show to complete subservience and regret that we have. And the run is Mazbe, that the pshat is very simple behind it. The run in his drushes, he explains that obviously we understand that the severity of a punishment is dependent on the transgression. And it also depends on who commanded us to keep it. We understand if our wife tells us to go along and do something and we don't do it, she'll be upset. But we can appease her with a bunch of flowers. But if our boss comes along and tells us to do something and we don't do it, there'll be a bigger punishment. We could even be sacked. And if the judge gives issues an order and we don't do it, there'll be a much bigger punishment. We'll end up in prison. And if the king comes along and tells us to do it and we don't do it, it's death. And what about if Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do it? Someone who's the greatest, the biggest, the most powerful. Then we can understand that the punishment is going to be Ba'ein Tachlis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Soif, there's no end. And we understand that when we fulfill a commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the reward we get is eternal. So in the same vein, it makes sense to say that the punishment we deserve is also going to be eternal. And therefore, Seichel comes along and says, we can't have an eternal punishment in this world. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that there's ends. It finishes. So in this world, we can't get an eternal punishment. And therefore, logic dictates that we should get the worst punishment whatsoever. The worst punishment that we can get. Which is, says Seichel, take everything precious in your life and give it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Take all your monetary possessions. But it doesn't stop there. There's something else that's precious in our life. Our children. And the Pasuk continues and says, Ha'etein b'choyri pishi pribitni chatas nashi. Seichel says that if a person wants to appease and find rotzen before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then teshuva requires sacrificing his own children, Leolino. It says that you have to give up everything precious to you in your life to show complete subservience. And the Gemara actually says in Tanis that that's taka what happened. Mesha, Melech of Moyov, he wanted to find Rotzen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, says the Gemara, and therefore he took his firstborn son and he was makrifim as a korban before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it wasn't only Mesha Melech Moyov. The Gemara continues and says that Yiftach HaShefet, one of the Shoftim in Klal Yisrael, the same thing. He took his daughter and he sacrificed her as a korban before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which, in truth, works brilliantly, because that's what logic requires us to do. If we want to do Teshuvah, which we know we have to do, it's a chiyuv on us. Anyone who believes in Schava Einish understands that he has to repent. And therefore, in order to repent and to find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Seichel says you have to give everything up. And therefore, these people will muck with their children. But the Gemara in Tanis, which mentions these two stories, mentions it in a certain context. It says, Asher lo tzivisi v'lo dibarti. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're 100% right. Seichel is taka mechayev. Then, in order to be Mekayim Teshuvah and to get a complete atonement, you have to be willing to give up everything you have in life, everything precious that you have, and to sacrifice your own children. But says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asher lo tzivisi v'lo dibarati. That's not what I want from you. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? And the Pasuk in Micha continues and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Higid lecha odo ma Hashem doyish mimcha. I'll tell you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. And the Pasuk says, Ki im asois mishpot. And the Ran in his Droshus explains that asois mishpot refers to the idea, he wants us to correct our ways. I don't want any of this stuff, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All I want you to do is say, I'm sorry. To begin anew, to begin a new path, to say I was wrong and now I'm trying again. This is the biggest anticlimax that could be. On the one hand, we've got Seichel being mechayev us to do terrible, massive things. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's not what I want. We see here an outpouring of love, which is literally eternal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're right, you should be doing all these terrible things, but I don't want any of those things from you. All I want is for you to come along and say I'm sorry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in seeing us destroyed. And the truth is, the Sfarim speak out, that apart from the fact that Tshuva itself is a massive chiddush, because when a person's done something wrong, how on earth can he retroactively correct that? It's happened, there's nothing he can do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadosh in the Bria, an idea that's possible to come along and say, I'm sorry, I'm going to do Tshuva, and it's all gone. Which itself, the Sfarim speak out, is the biggest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael since Bria Shemayim Varetz. Tshuva is the biggest chesed. And on top of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not only am I making such a Bria of Tshuva, but I'm also making it so easy and such a small thing to do, that itself shows tremendous rachamim, tremendous care, tremendous concern. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, these small things. Obviously, no one's going to deny the fact that Tshuva, to overcome our Yetzirah, and to say, no, we're not going to fall, and we're going to overcome these obstacles, is a very difficult thing. But compared to what our Seichel is mechayev us to do, and to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually wants us to do, it's absolute kid's play. It's very, very easy. And when we see the love and concern that He has for us, that He doesn't want to see us destroyed, He's got no interest in seeing us giving up all our possessions. And the only thing He wants is for us to say sorry, it shows us tremendous love. But there's also a massive ramification which emerges from it, which is what I want to discuss. But before the ramification, I just want to bring out, Reb Chazkel says, from this, you see from here, that there's times in our life where our seichel tells us to do certain things. And al pi seichel, it makes 100%. And says Reb Chazkel, that Torah comes along and tells us things which are complete to the opposite of our seichel. And we say, it doesn't make sense. Logic tells me to do like this. But we see from here, says Reb Chazkel, that even at times when we do not understand the Das Torah, and it goes against our Seichel, that is what Das Torah is all about. That it defies all logic and it's still the right thing to do. That's what Reb Chazkel brings out. But back to the subject at hand, there's a big achrayis that comes out from here. Until now, says the Ran, when a person goes up after Meir Ve'esrim, and he's giving Din V'cheshbon, so HaKadosh Baruch will tell the guy, so where was your Tshuva? And until now, he could have said, listen, it was too difficult. Obviously, it won't patter him, it won't exempt him completely. But there is truth in it. Seichel tells us that Tshuva is a very difficult thing. But now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said that he's made it so easy for us, a person hasn't got this excuse anymore that he can't do Tshuva. And Noi Bazoi, when he comes up there, says the Ran, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, where's your Tshuva? What's the person going to say? And the Ran says, that is the translation of the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says in Hosea, Mi chochem v'yovin eile. Who's a chochem to understand? Ki yesharim darche Hashem. Tzadikim yelchubom, o poishim yekoshlubom. And he asks, what does this mean? That the same thing can be a nichshal and could also be a derech for tzadikim. And the Ran says, this is pshat. Teshuva, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made so easy for us, has an idea of tzadikim yelchubom. It's a path. It's something which we can traverse. It's something which we can go over. It's smooth. It's not derech halaklakis. It's a smooth, easy path. We know what we have to do. We don't have to destroy ourselves. We have to say, I'm sorry, and begin anew. And this same path, which is yesharim darchei Hashem, is also a poishim yekoshlubom. Because when a poishah, when someone who has done aveiros and hasn't done tshuva goes up there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, it's so easy. It was yesharim darchei Hashem. It was easy. So this gufa is the nichshal for Rishayim. The thing that is pulling the Rishayim down is gufa, the easiness of the mitzvah. And therefore, says the Ran, there's a tremendous achrayis on every single person to do teshuva. And the Ran continues and he says a terrifying idea, which the truth is a Rashi al Ha'Torah in Parshas Shemos, in Parshas Va'era. He says that there's times in our life when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send us a message. We're not doing well enough, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to wake us up. And he quotes the Pasuk in Tzefanya, where Tzefanya says, Hichrati goyim noshamu pinaisam. I've destroyed and caused upheaval of towns and villages in Ekvelt, in other areas which have no shaykhs to us by the goyim. And says the Navi, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do these things? Says the Navi, Amarti achtiri oisi tikki musa. The Navi Tzefanya is revealing to us an unbelievable idea. He's saying that when there's things happening in the world, it's happening because of us. Even if it happens on the other ends of the world, and it looks like it's got no connection to the Eden, there was no Eden involved. But still HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for one reason and one reason only. To give Klal Yisrael a message. And the run continues and says that if Klal Yisrael don't understand this message, then they're in big trouble. Because this message, says the run, is the hasra'ah, is the warning. And if someone doesn't heed the warning, says the run, then they've been mutted themselves lemisa, chas v'shalom. It's going to come nearer, says the run, and nearer and nearer, until we understand and get this message. The Riskarov asks a famous question on Yom Kippur, relay mafta yoina. And they all ask, dafka mafta yoina. There's many parshias in Nach, which discuss the concept of tshuva. And out of all parshias, mafta yoina was chosen. And the Briskarov says that what was the story that took place in Yoina? Yoina was lying on the boat, he was fast asleep. And meanwhile, on top of him on the deck, there was thousands of people who were going to drown. It was about to overturn the boat and their lives were going to be finished. And they're busy praying and shouting out to all their various gods. And the captain goes down the stairs to check if there's anyone else down there, and he sees Yoina fast asleep. He wakes up Yoina Anovi, and he tells Yoina, what are you doing? You're fast asleep, you know what's going on. And he fills him in on the story. And Yoina Anovi opens his eyes and he says, don't worry. Ki yodea ani ki b'sheli hasar hagodol aleichem. I know that this tempest, this storm that is taking place, is because of me. And the Briskarov asks, it's because of you. Why are you saying that? There's Oivdei Avodah Zarah on the boat, which is clearly evident. There's Oivdei Avodah Mistamba on the boat. And you're saying it's because of you. And the Briskarov brings out this yesod that a person has to understand that yes. And that's why we lay this on Yom Kippur. To tell us that yes. When things happen in the world, things which look like they have zero connection to Klal Yisrael, it's happening because of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are the centerpiece of the world, and the world is revolving around us. And every single thing that is taking place in the world is happening because of us. And therefore, when things happen, even if it's at the other end, it's because of us and to give us a message. And if we don't heed the message, says the run, then it'll come nearer and nearer. And Reb Chaskel brings down a medrash, that the Medrash says, Gimel Tardemois Yesh La'odom. There's three types of slumbers. And says the Medrash that one of them is Shinas Haguf. Which means, says Reb Chaskel, that a person can be given anesthesia to put him to sleep. And he'll be in such a deep sleep that a surgeon can take a knife and cut through his body. And he will not feel a thing. Says Reb Chaskel, the reason why sometimes we don't understand and see these clear messages coming across to us is because the nefesh can sometimes be in a very similar situation. Sometimes a person's fallen, and he's fallen so far that he can't even see himself the warnings that are being given to him. He's in a deep, deep slumber. He can have knives cutting across his skin, messages back and forth, wherever he looks, there's things going on all around the world, and still he's in a slumber, he can't feel it. And I was wondering, what's Takup Shat? We see things going on around us. What's Takup Shat? What does it mean that Reb Chaskel says we can't feel it? And the answer to this, L'chayr, is based on a run. At the run, on a posik in Yeshaya, says a beautiful idea. The run says, Lo Yosef Oid She'er Yisrael Opeitas Beis Yaakov Le'shoin Al Makeyu. It's a posik in Yeshaya, and the posik is discussing Klal Yisrael's situation. And Yeshaya says, Lo Yosef Oid She'er Yisrael, it should not happen anymore that Klal Yisrael or Pleitas Beis Yaakov Le'shoin Al Makeyu, which literally means to rely on their stick. And the Ron says a beautiful idea here. He says, you get a story, bring it out in a moshel, of a guy who's caught shoplifting in a shop. So the manager catches him and takes him to the police station. The police in turn take him to court. And the judge, Paskins, is mechayef him, he's going to have to get lashes. And the big day comes, and they've hired a special guy to give over these lashes, and this pickpocketer is bending over, they're taking the stick, and they're about to hit him. And suddenly this pickpocketer bursts out crying. And he turns around to the stick, and he pleads with the stick, please don't hurt me. Anyone understands the absurdity of the situation happening? Because apart from the fact that the stick is a daimim, there's nothing the stick can do, there's another reason why what this person is doing is wrong. What's the reason? The Ran explains that this stick, which is about to hit the person, has got many sibbas causing it to want to hit the person. It's got the guy holding it who wants to hit him with it. It's got the policeman who wants him to get punished. It's got the judge who issued the order that he has to get punished. And it's got the shoplifter who wants him to get punished. Says the Ran, if you'd go back one stage and you'd ask, so this stick has got too many sibbas, says the Ran, that it won't be able to stop you from getting hit. But if you go back one stage, says the Ran, and you plead with the guy who's hitting you, there's more of a chance that, not that you'll get let off, but there's more of a chance that he'll lighten it. He won't hit you as hard. Because there's less sibbas on him. And if you go back another stage and ask the policeman and plead with him, there's much more of a chance, not that you'll get let off again, but there's more of a chance that he'll be able to remove some of the lashes. Maybe he'll plead to the judge on your behalf. And if you go to the judge himself, maybe the judge will issue a different punishment. And if you go to the Baal HaBayis himself, says the Ran, then there's the biggest chance. Because there's no sibbas other than Baal HaBayis. And if the Baal HaBayis says, I forgive you, then it's gone. Says the Ran, Yosef oy she'er Yisrael played a space Yaakov le'shoin al makeyu. We've come to a point where Klal Yisrael have to open their eyes and realize, stop crying out to the stick, says the Ran. Look where it's coming from. We look around and we see things happening and we're fast asleep and we think that it's these things themselves. But it's not true. There's sibbas behind them causing it. And if we go back to the last sibba, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we can get let off everything, says the Ran. And that is our job in Elul. In Elul is a time for a person to stop and say, I know I've done wrong and I really want to do better. There's so much shefa of rachamim, of love, of relationships that we can connect to. But all we have to do is start off ourselves. Elul is a time when is a time before Rosh Hashanah when we know that everything's going to be decided for us. And we've got a chance now to help that decision take place. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu examines us and he sees that we're trying or we're really attempting to get better, then taka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, fine, I'm willing to help you. But we have to do the first step. And now that we know that tshuva is not what Seichel is mechayev us, tshuva is not about destroying our lives and sacrificing our children, le'olenu, and giving over all our monetary possessions. But rather, tshuva is the easiest, most beautiful thing. Tshuva is something which says, just start again. Say, I'm sorry. And it's so easy to do compared to that. And obviously it's going to take avodah. And it's something which we all have to sit down a few minutes and do. But if we try and attempt to do it, then we'll manage. And be'ezus Hashem, we shall be zeicha to do teshuva and to be zeicha behavior main domain to go to shleimah.